Shelly, are you about ready? Miss B? Lady B? B's in the house. Okay. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. I would ask the audience to join the board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And that reminds me, Shelley, I got to put my cell phone on vibrate because I think it's on. I want it to go off on me today in the meeting. Okay. The minutes of 1-31-12 is up for consideration.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and second the approval of the minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. The next item is an opportunity for members of the audience to address the board regarding something on today's agenda. Is there any comments or questions? Okay, hearing none. Moving on down, there are no public hearing comments. Our next item is item number one, discussion and consideration of the disposition of the annex lot. Facilities Director Al Hahn, come on down. Okay.
It's on. You just have to push it really, pull it really close and talk into it.
Morning.
Good morning. Now you're pushing away. Now that one really is on.
This one's on.
Yep.
What do you want to do with the annex lot?
What do you want to do? It's called money, honey. But just,
we got the house gone. It looks pretty sweet over there. I understand we have some type of an offer or somebody interested in it. But
I think the three of us got an email just inquiring if the county had given any consideration to selling that lot, and the person that sent the email would be interested if we had considered to sell it. So,
question I have to ask again, because we've run into this in other areas, the difference between an offer and whether or not we have to officially make this a notice and give any other prospective individuals an opportunity, I think that's something we have to do if we're interested in selling the property.
Yep, we'd need a public hearing and some other legal stuff to get it going to if we want to go that route. On the assessor's webpage, the land is assessed at
$13,800. Okay. Now, the question that I always think about is future county needs and purposes. Do you see that this would also involve the parking space that is currently attached to that land at this point?
Yeah, the parking that we use over there for the pool cars is really valuable to us, especially in the wintertime when we got to plow snow. That's just my 2 cents worth. But the land itself, since our building here is landlocked. If we ever have to do any type of storage facility or any other type of building, that property would come into play over there. I've always thought that it'd be a perfect place for putting voting machines in the auditor's office and actually making an office over there for them. Only because here we're pretty dependent on elevators to get stuff up and down during a crucial time when we got to deliver voting machines over there. That'd be a first floor type facility. We could hook it up with underground services for data, phone, so forth. We even have enough well field out here to put geothermal over there. But now that's in the future. But if we sell the property, we're not going to ever have those options. And I don't think that property is going to bring much more. I don't think it'll bring the $13,000 that it's assessed at. That's just my point of view. But I think we should keep the property. I just think there's more to it. We sold that little spot to the east of the alley a few years ago. I think we we kind of used for storage at that time, but we lost that. So I don't know. My point of view, I think we should keep it.
Well, I think that's one of the questions that I wanted to ask. Obviously, right now, we may not see an immediate use for with 1 to 2 years, but down the road, if it potentially has some consideration, it comes into play in terms of our long-range visioning and goals of space needs and things like that. And I'd hate to rush into a decision just because we've had an inquiry without us really having a comfortable assessment of whether this fits in future use. And I don't know where the other two are coming from that standpoint, but, I mean, I think that should be factored in. And while this is a topic of consideration at this point, it's a topic that we could defer and then give more thought at a later time, but I just wanted to get input from you two in terms of what your feelings are about moving forward with the actual sending out a proposal to possibly allow people to purchase the land if so inclined.
We can always sell it, but we can always never buy it back if we need it, you know, so once it's gone, it would be gone. I think once we see the green grass and the final grading and stuff going on over there, I think we'll be glad that it's still in our possession and that we have something for the future if we need it.
No, I just kind of wanted to have the discussion, and since we did have some interest in it, and Al's right. Once it's gone, it's going to be gone, and if we would identify a need for it in the future and we didn't have it, then I think we'd be out of luck. So
I agree. I think at this point we don't do anything with it. We wait and see. I mean, it could be that down the road we decide, or another board decides, that property that needs to be back on the tax rolls, and it would make some sense. But at this point, I know I don't have enough information to know whether we should or should not get rid of it, and that leads me to believe that we need to keep it. I would suggest that our information liaison, Mr. Chair, respond to the inquiry and just let him know that at this point we don't have any intention of disposing of that property.
Okay. We'll gladly mow it.
Okay. All right. Okay. And thank you, Paul, for bringing that to our attention at this point, and Al for your candid comments as well. So appreciate that. We'll keep posted. All right. Next slide. Yeah.
Good luck later on.
Yeah. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Next item of discussion and consideration is the Story County logo and seal term use policy. This is after a 7-day review. Matt?
Hello.
Hello.
I had a couple of clarifications and a request for some help from the Treasurer's Department, but that's really the only feedback that our office has received on that. So I had some questions about the embosser that they use on some of their documents that they use down there, and also if they should be replacing their letterhead, which we've already done for them. It's just they just have to put it on their letterhead. So it's really the only feedback that I've got to this point.
I haven't heard anything from anybody about it. So, what do we need?
Rick, anything from you? Okay, good. Well, we've had the 7-day review. That was the purpose of it. And the feedback certainly doesn't indicate that some major changes or additions are needed. I think we are in a position to accept a motion.
So I'll move final approval of our Story County logo and seal policy.
Second.
And moved in second to approval of the final analysis of the logo and seal policy as submitted through the 7-day review. Any further discussion, board? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Matt, thanks for your work on this.
Thank you again
for
your work.
Thanks for pushing us to get this done.
Thank you.
If there's anything else on our plate that we need to do for you, just get it up here.
Okay.
We're coming. All right, good.
Okay. All righty.
We're on a roll.
Okay. Item 3, discussion and consideration of proposal to update job descriptions from Springstead, Inc. Human Resource Director Alyssa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you're aware, we are currently doing a salary survey. It went out last Friday. I think I forwarded that on. I'm very happy with the work that Springstead has done on that. I think we're going to get some good feedback from the entities that we sent it to. What I'm coming today to ask you for is, in the process of this, the employees filled out a PAQ. We sent their job descriptions to Springstead. They all filled out their PAQs. My understanding is that the job descriptions were pretty much up to date. We had a contract person in here, had worked on them. I have files and files in a desk drawer of drafts. After reviewing the PAQs, talking to Springstead, the majority of them have not been updated. The format was updated, but the content of the job description were not updated. So we're looking at about 78 to 80 job descriptions that do need to be updated over the departments. They're all non-union. With the performance management piece that we approved, the plan was to have everything done by the end of the fiscal year, which means Springstead would need Story County HR to update 78 to 80 job descriptions probably by the end of April, beginning of May, in order for them to get the performance management piece done. That's probably not very likely for me to get done.
The likelihood of that happening?
Probably not. So what I did is I did have Springstead give us a quote. They had drafted a couple job descriptions. What we're trying to work towards, our office assistants, our administrative assistants, they each have a different job description that's specific to the department. I'd like to see one job description that's countywide. That's typically what's done. We don't have a different job description written for every administrative assistant. They put together a couple based on the job descriptions and PAQs that they received from Story County. These job descriptions that were attached, these three job descriptions, are specific to Story County. They're not ones they pulled out of a file there. So that's another angle that we're working towards.
Question that I wanted to get some clarity on is, even though we're talking about administrative assistants, job descriptions, etc., when you go to identify specific tasks, that's not necessarily a part of the job descriptions. That is more or less internally within each department in terms of some of the specific duties and tasks that an assistant may assume. Is that correct?
The job description has your essential functions. You're filing, you're answering phones for an office assistant. The clerical type work, they're general statements. There typically is a portion on the job description that says, you know, tasks may vary depending on the department that you work for. The way you do the essential functions are going to be different, but all the essential functions are the same. And I just got a salary survey from the city of Urbandale, and that's what they do. They have one job description, a couple different levels. They looked at all our job descriptions at the county to see what can be combined.
Okay.
These three are the only ones.
So in a nutshell, what do you see as the advantage to Story County currently and in the future by having all of
this
done?
Job description? Yeah. Internal equity.
Okay.
Yep. They're all graded the same. We're not having a department writing a job description for an individual. The job descriptions are written for the job. And I'm trying to get that across to the department heads, too. A job description doesn't evolve with the person that's placed in there, because that person can leave at any point. And trying to hire somebody in with all those, you know, qualifications is very difficult. So we need to make sure our job descriptions are specific for the position. And whether it's an office assistant in community services or an office assistant in our department, they are doing the same essential functions. They do them differently based on... the department.
So. Listen, I want to make sure that I'm clear on what's happening here. So we contracted with Springstead to come in and not only do our salary survey, but also do a performance management tool.
Yep.
In order to do the performance management tool, we've got to have up-to-date job descriptions for all our positions, which we thought we had from our contract with HR OneSource. As you and Springstead dug into it, we realized they weren't quite as up-to-date as we thought they were. And so we need to go through and get this done. So it's not a question of if we're going to do these job descriptions. It's a question of who's going to do them. Because in order for Springstead to finalize the contract that we have with them, they've got to have these job descriptions done. So then it becomes, do we put this on a Alyssa's plate? Do we contract with somebody else to do it? Or do we contract with Springstead to do it? So I guess my first question is, am I seeing all that right? I mean, is that the...
Yeah, that's correct. And I did enough updating to get the salary survey out. They needed the education. They needed the certain things in order to get that survey out. I worked with Springstead based on the PAQs that the departments and the supervisors signed off on. We got that, so there was no holdup on that because that went out probably 2 weeks later than originally planned. It takes time. It's going to take 2 or 3 months before they have all that data. But the proposal for to do the 70, it figures out about $75, $80 a job description, which is pretty reasonable compared to other firms that actually contract out. They're anywhere from $100 to $250 per job description, depending on what type of job description
right.
they're drafting.
And we've been able to identify within this current budget cycle the funding to be able to cover this.
We are. I talked with Lisa. We're really close with the codification of ordinances. Springstead has said, they've said from the get-go, if you need to split this over two fiscal years, they're going to split it over two fiscal years. We do have contract labor budgeted for next year. I don't have any specific plans for that. But it is very important that, you know, that the performance management piece that we're getting from Springstead takes the essential functions from a job description and puts them in. It uses the job description to evaluate that employee to see how they're doing. And that's the way a performance management piece should be. We're going to actually evaluate them based on what they're supposed to be doing, not other, you know, are they showing up? I mean, they're going to get evaluated on whether they're, you know, timely or whatever, but...
Good. That's all the questions that I have. Are there any additional questions from you guys? Okay.
I'd move approval of contracting with Springstead to update our job descriptions.
It's been moved and seconded to move forward with the proposal for Springstead to do the update of the job descriptions as outlined. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thank you, Alyssa. Continue to work with them. Keep us posted. Okay, moving on down to agency reports. We want to welcome Shelley McQueenie from Access. Come on down.
Shelley, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm good.
So I'm here to talk about Access and the services that we provide to Story County. Access is the sexual assault domestic violence program that serves Story County. We provide emergency shelter. We provide a 24-hour emergency crisis line that's answered by certified domestic abuse and sexual assault counselors. We provide education to the community and to other service providers in the county. We provide medical and legal advocacy to individuals that are affected by domestic violence and sexual assault. We work closely with the Sheriff's Department, and for any domestic violent arrest that's been made, we will reach out to that victim and offer services and try to support the victim while the arrest is being made, whether the perpetrator is in jail. We help get 236's civil protective orders. So we're working with the victims in this county. Fiscal year 11, we served 145 individuals. That's unduplicated. So we're serving multiple people multiple times, but we count them individually. 91 of them were from Story County. For shelter nights, we provided 5,876 shelter nights. 4,188 were from individuals of Story County. So basically, about 71% of our shelter is filled with Story County residents. We provided 174 hours of battering, counseling, and support. We've provided 190 hours of battering court watch. We provided 64 hours of battering crisis. We provided 71 hours of rape counseling and support. And we provided 15 hours of rape relief crisis. So battering counseling and support is really ongoing services where we're safety planning with individuals. We're making sure that they have a safe place to stay, dealing with any of the emotional things that people are experiencing, we're trying to help them function at a level where they can daily do the things that they need to do. For Battering Court Watch, that's really providing legal advocacy. That's going to court with them. That's 236 protective orders. That's, just filing, the electronic filing with them. Battering Crisis is going to the police department, making sure that victims have the services when they're in crisis, when they're in danger, getting them into the emergency shelter, and Rape Relief Crisis is responding with our sexual assault response team. And these are hours that are for Story County. We've provided 660 individuals with education. We've spoken with the Kiwanis, the Teen Maze, which is a program that's offered to Story County adolescents, and really it's kind of a life skills that we're a part of, and we're talking about healthy relationships, self-esteem, when do you decide to be in a relationship, when do you decide not to be in a relationship, what are the things that are important to you. We're involved with Nevada Middle School and the Nevada High School Key Club. We've done education with Carlton Family Medicine and Story County Medical Services for to make sure that they have the resources that they need to respond to victims of sexual assault. Two things that I wanted to highlight that we've done over the course of the year is our Christmas program. We wanted to scale back a little bit on our Christmas program, but that didn't seem to work very well because the need was so great. We had 11 families, businesses, and individuals donate gifts to our families that we're serving. We had many, many anonymous donors. We were able to serve 77 individuals, 23 moms, 6 single women, and 48 youth with our holiday program. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was in April, 16th and 17th during Crime Victim Rights Week, we applied for a grant through Victims of Crime, which is a federal program, and we received funding to do Heart for Arts. And I gave you guys a pamphlet of we solicited individuals who were victims of crime to do artwork, and we did an art show for them. And we had 41 individuals who contributed art, and it was open to the public, and we received remarkable feedback. The grant isn't available this year, but we're committed to doing it again because it had such an impact in the community, just for individuals who could witness the art and for the individuals themselves who did the art. It was a tremendous healing process for individuals. So we're going to do that again this year. So we've been busy.
Well, Shelley, the question that I have is a difficult one to deal with because I'm not sure if it's your agency follow-up because many of the people that you're working with end up being individuals that need to come in to a more secure, safe environment during the process of some of the domestic violence or abuse that they are engaged with. But take an average citizen who is either married or having a relationship or living relationship, and they have a situation where during a heated moment they have been either referred to the police, have had to come in and intercede, they've gone through necessary whatever the legal ramifications that they have to go through, but what happens after the fact? Is there other agencies out there that individuals could go to? Because what I sensed happening sometimes could more or less be just in the heat of a dispute between individuals, and at the time they took what action they thought they needed to take. But then once you get a record, it's very difficult to have that, I don't know, Paul, in legal terms, expand or change, but are there other agencies out there that people can work with to make sure that there is an opportunity to review a prior incident to see whether or not there is, I don't want to use the term restitution, but I just think that there are certain cases that happen, and we know that once those individuals are identified, it takes a long time for that to go off their record, and it sometimes affects you in a lot of other ways when you're trying to get loans, you're trying to buy a house. You see where I'm going with this? And
I
don't know what other role your agency or other agencies provide, and these are probably limited type situations, but I'm just wondering, in our community, are there other advocacy groups that individuals could turn to work with when they are caught in that situation?
We work with victims. So if a victim was arrested, if there was a dual arrest, and both parties were arrested and both parties have a record, we work with victim witness to make sure that we can identify who was the perpetrator and who was the abuser. Who was the victim? Did the victim, was she trying to protect herself? Did she just have enough and she just lashed out and lost control? So we will work very hard with that victim to make sure that the proper person is being charged with the crime. We don't work with perpetrators. We have our hands full with serving victims. I'm sure that there's a lot of agencies that will work with perpetrators to make sure that they're getting their due process. It just can't be us.
Right. Right. And I guess more than anything, I appreciate that clarification and understanding.
Yes. No, I understand
because
what you're
asking. I do really believe that the service that you provide is very essential and critical for the individuals that you serve. And so I'm certainly not advocating anything other than just wondering from a standpoint, because there is that other side that sometimes enter in, because people do, in the heat of a moment, get involved in a situation, and then whatever the legal ramifications that follow could have a devastating impact down the line. But I certainly understand your agency and what you do, and have supported that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And I thank you for the clarification as well.
We work closely with the police because we understand, like they do, that things go badly quickly.
Right.
Weapons come out, people get injured. It can fall apart quickly. So we try to support the victim and make sure that the police have a person who can come forward and tell their story and through trauma. And
right.
We understand trauma. So, you know, we're really a crisis response agency.
Right. Good term, crisis response.
Yeah, and I know. I mean, talking to being a part of the asset program, I understand that the community really, really needs people who can respond to crisis, because the police and schools and the medical facilities are being overwhelmed by people who are in crisis.
Yeah. Shelley, I just want to thank you for the work you do. I know so many times it's a thankless
job
that you have. And unfortunately so necessary, and thank you very much. I'm curious, what amount of funding does Story County provide through the asset process to you, and how does that relate to what you've requested through the years?
We are conservative in our requests, because we get federal money, we get state money, we get county money, we get city money. So we are really well diversified. We get United Way money, ISU money. So we pay attention to how many people are coming through our door and what is it that we need to provide. So we haven't gotten our asset, we haven't gotten the finalized asset allotment yet, but typically it's about 68,000 that we're, yeah.
And generally, are we able to fund at the level that you request, or is it?
You are funding at the level that we're requesting, but we're not going out and looking for more to do. So if we would spend time, like, really looking at the underserved population and really doing a lot of you know, work in regards to reaching out to them, we would have way more than we can handle.
Sure.
Right now, we are serving who's coming through our door,
right.
And we're word of mouth is police, medical, schools, people that we've already served, community members who we've educated. They're getting the word out for us, but there's more to do.
Thank you. That's a good question, Rick. Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
your,
so much.
For your
we
work
really
and your
appreciate
service.
Your yeah. support, and we really feel that you understand the needs of victims in this county. So thank you so much.
Bet, and thank you. All righty. Okay, moving on to departmental reports. Joe, that's going to be a tough act to follow. But if anybody can do it, you can. IRVM, Joe Quaker.
Quaker, you promise show and tell next time. I got it right there. I want plants, kind of not Joe.
Can't get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone. No.
But are you on the inside?
All right.
I'm in here, too, actually, on the committee.
And we better hide that part.
A little bitty picture.
Oh, we better hide.
But, yeah, S-14 extension. We've been in a few calendars before.
Okay, pull that close to you now as you get started. Okay.
Whose computer am I using? So, any questions?
Well, tell us what's been going on in your realm of work and...
Trying to find the...
Here. Go to my computer.
Gotcha.
Click.
Brian. Click, click.
Help.
What was that, Wayne? My world of what?
Have a senior moment. I can't think about it. That was just a couple seconds ago I asked that question. Now it's gone. Just in your realm of what's going on, what some of the projects you've got outlined, and as we move into the season where you'll be, are we still going to be contracting for certain services along the roadsides, et cetera? Just a little general update.
Well, we just did get back from... the annual training,
right?
Winterfest,
right?
And it was interesting. There was a few talks on burning and insects, and you know we don't care a lot about those little. We do care, but it's sometimes we forget. So there's a lot of information on burning roadsides and burning native remnants and.
That's yours.
On this one here. The other thing too was the latest the DNR is up to doing morning dove food plots, since that's the new commodity, since we don't have a lot of pheasants.
It's not going to work for you. I think it's because you have them plugged in at the same time. If that's hers, it's not reading yours.
Can we pull hers out?
I can, but then you guys will have to wait a few minutes when I get mine.
Hold on.
Oh, we can do that if need be.
We're having a meeting Thursday morning to talk about burn plans with the county and how we're all going to work together.
You guys do... Will you do burns on private property?
No. Actually, we do burns on private property, I guess, because we have some seed nurseries there that we harvest from, which I was going to cover with this thing a little bit. You know, the Jeanette property, we have a lot to do there as far as seeding. As acres come out of production that we cash rent, we got to seed that down to the prairie stuff. And we get that seed by combining it off our nurseries. Now, the nurseries that Story County manages are okay. We planted them back in the day, but we do have some folks that keep Prairie close to their heart and actually hire people throughout the year on their own dollar, you know, to take care of these areas and weed them and add more stuff to them and make them a little nicer than what we actually have as far as prairie nurseries.
Hmm.
So we harvest off these, and with that we do help maintain to some degree the integrity of those plantings by burning. And, you know, we harvest and they get half and we get half, which is a pretty good deal. Back in the day before we started...
It's not showing you, I'm sorry.
Really?
Really.
I'm wondering, just procedurally, would we be better off just going to Margaret with Environmental Health since she's on there and then checking with IT to see what we need to do to bring... Oh, she's already off? Okay.
You know, our seed budget used to be $8,000 to $12,000, and now it's two. And mainly that $2,000 is for oats or annual rye or a cover crop that we would put down. Between the harvesting and writing grants, I think we did about 30 or 40 acres worth of native grass seeding in the roadsides last year.
Hmm.
Some of that stuff's $500 an acre. So we're saving a lot of money by doing this.
Sorry.
Well, I'll have to come back next week.
Yeah, because the picture is worth 1,000 words,
I think,
right?
So.
Sorry, this is her.
Well, we can certainly defer and have you come back.
All right. Sorry about that. I thought I'd be able to work this out.
Now we get to see you 2 weeks in a row, Joe. So that's exciting. Getting better than that.
Thank you, Joe. We'll defer.
Questions? I think we're good.
All right. All right. So, Margaret, we'll give you a minute or two to get...
Oh, good.
Joe, looks like you've gained weight.
Hi there.
You better not say that to me, buddy.
Well, you didn't give me a calendar.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay, Margaret, let us know when you're up and ready. So we're moving on to environmental health with Margaret Jane.
Maybe one.
Thanks.
I love dogs, but I don't know that I could tolerate a dog sleeping on my dining room table, Margaret.
Kelly told me, get a bigger table.
I was just hoping that he was asleep, just wasn't so firm on the ritual.
Yeah, it's an apple in her mouth.
What's for Christmas dinner?
Oh, I don't...
Messed it up for you now, too?
You did, yep. I think I can do this, though.
Okay.
Whoa.
Oh, Shelly, you're right.
We're getting a new one, aren't we? That's just for us?
This is IT's, I...
Yeah.
I hope you guys are getting one for just here.
Yeah.
I requested it.
Well, if you request it, it's a done deal.
Hold on a second.
Got the handout right here, so if you need these, you can go with that. But just takes it out of the audience view. Technology is great when it works. Ah, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Now,
this dog is the bane of my existence, and it is a Story County issue dog. So there you go. So if I look like I'm losing my mind, it's because of this dog.
How did this dog learn how to get up on the table?
I don't know. We walked in one day, and she lifted her head up like, what, you know? She's only 10 months old. She's still learning new tricks. Last night she got my husband's golf clubs, so she might be toast.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you've identified that this is a real picture, because I actually thought this was a stuffed animal that you just kind of stuck up there for visual effect.
No. So, good morning. This is the report from the Environmental Health Department. I also have a report to do to the Board of Health today, so I might come back with more things after that. So, looking at the numbers, we're in our third quarter now. This is typically our slow time of the year, and then also we are only about 1 month into this quarter, so that's why the numbers look a little low. Bacteria, last quarter looked a little high. We've been trying to switch over a little bit using the state hygienic lab just to see if we could pick up a different pattern there. This year so far, out of 13, only one bacteria, so that's pretty good. As far as complaints, they're pretty low this quarter so far. We did have a call from a Zeering gal that had a public water supply issue, and we had them hook up with DNR for that. We do not do public water supplies. We had this was one of my favorite ones, an Ames hot water issue. There's an apartment above a car wash in Ames, and they're all off of the same water heater. So on busy spring days, they have really big issues with their hot water. The dad has to stand there and monitor the hot so that their kids don't get scalded with the hot water. So I referred them over to the City of Ames, and I haven't heard any complaints back. I told them to please call back if they don't get any satisfaction with Ames. The burnt house up on Riverside Road, that has been razed. So the top picture shows the burnt house, and then all that remains right now is the well. And that did not look to be damaged by the fire, so they lucked out with the well. That's the only thing. And then one bed bugs call, and then just yesterday a mold call. So those kind of keep coming in all the time. Our septic pumper inspection program, this is the first year for that. We have a contract for $6,000 with IDNR to inspect the certified pumpers. So that is three in Story County, actually two and a half in Story County, and two in Tama County. So we've done the initial review of the paperwork and that. And that involves looking at their maps because they land apply some of the effluent. So we've inspected Earl Sanitation and Roto-Rooter in joint with Boone County, and then we still have Drain Tech to do, which is on Lincoln Way here, and then we have two sites in Tama County, and that is just the business, as they do not land apply from those two businesses in Tama County.
So is this through a 2080 agreement, or how is this set up that we do the work in Tama?
Well, we did not sign a 2080. It was a contract with DNR.
Through DNR, okay.
DNR to cover... Sorry, Shelley, to cover Tama County. And we do not have to do any enforcement with that.
Okay.
Okay. We just inspect it and report to DNR, and DNR would work with Tama County to get that squared away. But it not being a land application business, the violations would be fairly minimal.
So no liabilities that could come back based on a report through the DNR, the way it's structured, I guess...
Yeah, those are good questions. The health Board of Health reviewed this fairly closely, and they agreed that this should be okay. I believe they also asked Steve.
The Board of Supervisors approved it also.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So should be good to go. Yeah.
Good. I didn't foresee a problem, but again, you know, we don't hear too often about how we are interacting with other counties, and this is another good example, though, of the type of cooperation and collaboration that exists when we're in close proximity, and we have the wherewithal and the staff to be able to provide that service. I think counties, there are a lot of questions oftentimes, is how are we sharing amongst counties on certain things when others are not able to provide this. And so this, that was my primary reason, is to be able to, so I could document and say, yes, here's another example of what counties are doing to working together. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Trainings and meetings myself and the staff have attended. Kathy and I attended a mound workshop. Story County is notorious for their mounds. Don was very influential on that, did a good job with that. Typically, our high seasonal water table is high, and mounds are the perfect fit for a lot of our soils here. So we attended that workshop, and then the three of us attended the Iowa On-Site Wastewater Association to get our CEUs. I also attended the Cattlemen's Association farm tour and then got to go down to Perry Meadows for my steak. And I also attended lead recertification program class. I've been working on the environmental health emergency preparedness. The entire staff has completed the NIMS and EOC classes. I attended the Story County Emergency Planning Exercise put on by Homeward and Keith Morgan. I'm heading up the work group for Region 1. It's the IDPH Emergency Preparedness Grant, and that covers community recovery and information sharing. So we meet about three times during our low busy season and meet with other sanitarians and kind of talk about what our role is for emergency preparedness. We get a small grant from the state to cover expenses. And I also met with Keith Morgan to discuss the plans that we have in place that fit into environmental health, sort of fits under public health and then fits into the main scheme of things. And then also I'm working on the COOP plan and the emergency support function capabilities. Before, I used to think we were just class 8, and now we're also class 11 and 12, too, Keith was explaining to me. Keith is always good about coming up with entire notebooks for me to peruse in my leisure time. The lead poisoning prevention program, not a lot of changes here. I did take the recertification class. That's a two-day class and then two written exams. I closed one case in Ames that was ongoing since 1996, which I inherited from IDPH. They landed up gutting the house, putting siding on the exterior, and replacing the window. So it was a huge job, finally done, and it did pass the lead dust test, so they're good to go, off my books. I still have 10 open cases and no new open cases recently. I did do one home visit for a visual assessment for Gallup in Story City. Has two toddlers living in a turn-of-the-century house, and she was concerned about lead poisoning. As far as miscellaneous activities, these next few slides will go over that. We have our second open-loop geothermal system in the county, second that I know of, that is. And the way that differs is that it actually pumps water from the ground, puts heat into it or takes heat out of the water, and then just dumps that water into a pond. Most of the geothermals that we have in the county are closed-loop, and no water is withdrawn. So the point of this slide, really, a little too busy, but the point is, do we need to take a closer look at how much water is being withdrawn in Story County, you know, and take a look at the businesses that are pumping a lot of water, those folks that are doing open loops, those folks that permit a well specifically for filling a pond in their backyard, things like that. I think it would be a good idea to maybe get a little closer look. Bill Simpkins from ISU has done a study, sort of a water balance for the county. It's a couple years old, but it might be interesting to have him come to one of our meetings and do a presentation. Is that something you might be interested in?
Well, help me understand the source of the water, the groundwater. Are we talking about aquifers or where that raises this concern?
Aquifers, groundwater. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay.
I'd be interested in...
You'd be interested? Okay.
Margaret, what's the advantage of an open loop? Is it cheaper for them to put in?
You know, they had a pond there. This is an interesting one. It's right behind I can't pronounce it. Is it Tyson's or Tyson's?
Tyson's.
Tyson's, thank you.
Okay.
And they have a pond there that looks a little low. So I think that they wanted the double use of this well. Initially, they thought that these wells were cheaper to install. However, doing a little background reading on it, it sounds like a lot of things can go wrong. It starts getting algae and goop, and it really is hard on your equipment, your pumps and that. So time will tell. The other one that we have in existence is for the winery, the Prairie Moon Winery.
Yeah.
And they converted an existing well over to, that was the one that served the North Squaw Valley area, and then they switched over to a public water supply. So then in turn, the winery got the well, and they turned it into a pump and dump. It's a lot of water, and it makes me nervous that they're doing this. The state does require withdrawal permits on anything over 25,000 gallons per day. So they are keeping track of that sum to the best of their ability from Des Moines. So I think the county just taking a little closer look at this might be a good idea. Can't hurt.
Knowledge is always good to have, and especially if there could be some potential unknown factors that people need to be aware of as they move forward. So, good. Thank you.
I'll try to set something up.
Yeah, that'd be worthwhile.
Thank you. Great. Arsenic in Iowa water in between 06 and 08, there's that SWIRL statewide survey where they did about 500 wells. About half contained arsenic. 8% of those are greater than the 10 parts per billion, which is EPA's cutoff for safe drinking water. Exposure, they have related it to cancer and cardiovascular problems. Arsenic naturally occurs in the geology in the rock that the aquifer is in. It also comes from orchards and glass and electronics. Now, orchards might be a problem for Story County. The electronics, I don't think so. So I plan to target some of the wells around orchards, old orchards, and see if there's a problem that way. In Story County, we've only, in the past few years, we've collected 17 random samples when we're going ahead and getting the bacteria nitrate testing. And ranged from no detection to 13 parts per billion. Five samples were above the detection limit. So about a third had some in it. Okay. Again, the 10 is the cutoff. The one well that we had that was above the EPA drinking water standard, they have already plugged that well, but not for arsenic reasons, for different reasons. So don't have to worry about that one. So I think this is clear that we need some more sampling, especially around orchards, and maybe a little take a close look at where those 17 samples are from and make sure we're hitting all areas of the county. This is my artwork here. Earlier this year, or I guess in 2011, I received a carbon monoxide education grant for $2,500 from the Consumer Protection Safety Commission. And with that, we purchased 80 detectors. I sent one home with Ashley because she didn't have one, and it was important for her to know about this, seeing that she's taking phone calls. Well, Monday, just this week, she comes in, and she said the darn thing was going off. So she took it outside, and it stopped beeping. She took it back inside, and it was beeping again. So and Alliant Energy has a free service where they come out, even on Saturday, and their furnace was putting out like 87,000 at like off-the-chart levels of carbon monoxide. So the next day, they had their furnace replaced. It was a 1984 furnace. So this is just, you know, that was so worth it to just have them safe. It's just amazing that this hit so close to home. It's just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Oh, let's see. Christofferson First Subdivision. This is Woodview Drive. Is it Oakwood or Oakland that goes extension of Airport Road? Thank you. So it's just north of that, off of that road. The city is extending sewer lines there, and the state and county code requires that if they're within 200 feet, they have to hook up to city sewer, right? This affects about 11 houses. Waterline already exists, so there's just about every house has a well and a septic out there. So they will have to cave in their old tanks and hook up to city sewer. And then the wells, if they want to keep their wells, the city's going to require a backflow preventer.
Is this somewhere near the Tea Garden area down that subdivision down there?
No, Tea Garden is on 69,
right.
South on 69.
Right. So
this is, you know, where the airport is. And
right.
It's
back behind the church where we were leadership anchor.
Ah, okay, got you. I was just trying to get a location approximately.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Lost my train of thought. So most of these folks have old systems and will want to readily hook up. This is just a really good deal for most folks. There is one on the very south end of that road that put in a mound 10 years ago, and they might not be so interested in hooking up. So the Board of Health, I'm going to discuss with them today whether or not we should allow 3 years, 5 years, or when it fails, that kind of thing. It's up to the regulatory authority to decide when they have to hook up, so we'll go from there. Hopefully they'll want to hook up too. It's a mound, it's ugly, takes up a lot of their yard, so they might be okay with it.
One question on the water line, because this topic came up with the annexation that Nevada's doing west of town, north of Lincoln Way. If the water line, if the property that the water line is within 200 feet of is not in the city limits, are they still required to hook up? So the question is, if when the city runs their water line on the north side of Lincoln Way, the businesses on the south side of Lincoln Way, this man cave or whatever it is, they're not in the city limits.
Right.
Are they going to be required to hook up even if they're not in the city limits and they're within the 200 feet of the water line?
The sewer water line you're talking
right.
about, right? Okay. Yes, they are supposed to. However, if they can show that there's circumstances, financial, that it really is not doable, we might be able to work with them because they would have to go under Lincoln Way to hook on. Yeah. I was hoping it was... I talked to the city of Nevada, though, and they were thinking they were actually going to go on the south side of the road with the sewer lines and stay north with the water with the portable water lines.
Okay, that could be. I hadn't had that discussion with anybody, but
yeah. So that so they might have to hook up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The move. We are combining spaces with planning and development. We are doing a trial run for about 4 months, and Paul has assured me that we're sharing spaces, but we're not turning into one department. We are two separate departments, one office space.
And you take his word on that when he says he's assuring you that.
I did this so that it's in the minutes, yes.
No, that is correct. That is correct.
You said you, Margaret, I am really appreciative of how helpful you've been through this process.
Right.
I mean, I think this is a really, really good thing we're going to see over the next 4 months. But thank you very much for being as helpful as you've been as we look at streamlining process.
Right. Good.
And we're committed to making this work.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
Just know that. The three of us, we're committed to making this happen in the best way possible.
Right.
Paul's been very helpful.
Good.
He's a good mediator, shall I say. Is that a good word?
I've heard that before.
Okay. And then my final slide, what's up next. Next Monday, I'm going to give a presentation to the Tullamore Glen Homeowners Association. They're kind of tricky in that they have five wells for 40 houses. And they did it that way so that they are not considered a public water supply. That's my opinion. That's why they did it that way. The builder did it that way. And so they are considered private wells. And so really all they have to do is nothing. It's up to them. That's a lot of people to be affected by water quality. So I am meeting with them, and I'm going to try to convince them to do sort of a slimmer version of what a city would do. So I'm coming up with a list of things that they should test for, not just the bacteria and nitrate that your typical homeowner does, but so arsenic, fluoride, metals, things like that. I'm working with the state hygienic lab to come up with a real good list, get some prices for them, testing frequency, things like that, and hopefully it'll be a go. And then I'm also going to present to them things that they need to be doing for septic system maintenance. What else? So we're going to start up that trial run. Let's see, continue with emergency preparedness regional workshops and plan review. I have a contractors meeting for septic contractors in Friday. I do that jointly with Boone County because we have similar contractors. And Matt is going to continue doing the septic pumper inspections. Any questions?
No. Good. It seems like you're quite busy, and this is good information. Thank you for the work that's done.
Good luck with the dog.
You would think of that, yeah. Okay, next up on the agenda is Planning and Development, Director Leanne Harder. Sure. Who? No, he's going to defer, though.
I brought his presentation.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's why he's still here.
Oh, well, very good. Very. Yeah, okay.
We're all gathered here today.
We've got our technical, we're back in session, and we've got our technical difficulty rearranged, and so back to our VM, Joe Quaker.
Hey, thanks. A little glitch in the program, but we're back in action. I didn't get this year-end report finished. I came here real quick and plugged in, you know, my memory stick, and it didn't work. But we'll get through most of this. I'm going to go really quick because I think you've seen some of this. It's just a year-end report I put together every year, but there's some key things through here that we'd probably want to talk about. I know you guys are familiar with that, you know, phrase drainage district, that's in here too. So first thing, you know, right out the gate in February, March, Wayne, you were talking about, you know, what's going on. Well, for 6 years I've been the president of the Iowa Association of Weed Commissioners. It's one thing I wrote up about changing the bylaws maybe would not make that so long. That's a long time to be on a committee. And so this is my last year. That's just the agenda that I had to put together this year and mail it out with the state weed commissioner. That's in March in Ames. You know, back in the day, it was 100 and some people. It's dwindled down to about 70. Most of these folks, well, we got about 70 counties that show up out of the 100. A lot of roadside managers, either for the road department or for the conservation directors. Could be the sign guy for the county, might be the weed commissioner in some counties, it just depends. Sanitarian in one of the counties. So, and part of that is my job is orientation of new weed commissioners. So we have to put together an agenda and help those folks out too. So it takes a little bit of time. The other thing too, safety chair. I found this little thing. It wouldn't kill you to attend a safety meeting, but this, you know, things like this take a little time too. And Story County Conservation just met yesterday, actually, to try to get our schedule together for our meeting in May. Third Monday in May, we have our orientation safety meeting. So anyway, with that.
Please let me know ahead of time, too, and okay. Hopefully I can attend.
Yeah, I think you show up there.
Great.
I'll try. And sometimes the road department employees, seasonal employees, go ahead and attend that meeting also. So this would have been last spring. It was a crazy year. Remember, we had a burn ban, but we did a lot of burning. 12 acres of roadsides, that's about... Well, 4 or 5 miles worth. Well, actually, depends on how wide the right-of-way is. So a lot of burning going on, and the natural areas, that would be helping the Story County Conservation with some of their areas and also the seed nurseries and a couple of pioneer cemeteries that we burn to keep some of the brush out of and keep those going too. One spot that you know well is the corner of E29 and Dayton. That's the roadside park, Wakefield Woods, yes. It's a neat area. It's in Oak Savannah, and since it's a roadside park, we kind of like to spend some time there being in roadsides. So we did burn that off this year. Something that we do now is we contact the adjacent landowners, not just to let them know we're going to burn, but in case it makes it more efficient to burn through some of their area to a fire break. Instead of putting it out and spending all the time to do that, it may just creep 10 more feet and hit a plowed field. So we work with landowners a little more. And when you burn through the brush, you can see that it just looks a little better. So a little bit of Oak Savannah action there. Planting, 30 acres of warm season, that's your prairie stuff. A lot of cool season. We're doing a lot of shoulders and median, well, not medians, but shoulders and intersections. That'd be your turf grass. We did some drainage ditch maintenance before we even knew we were going to do that by seeding a couple acres along our drainage ditches that the road department would dig up and fix. And that 7.5 acres was assisting the conservation staff at the Jeanette area, getting some of that seeded. Little native color, that is your S14 extension headed into Polk County. Same cover right there. So we did make the cover of that calendar. So this fall, they had the Skunk River. You know, if Darren was here, they had a good year for dirt work, okay? You know, a lot of construction. They had the Skunk River project going. And if you've been in the southeastern part of the county, a lot of work there, trying to reduce snow catch areas, things like that. And we spent quite a bit of time before the seeding date, which is like in October. You know, they have the seeding date where you want to seed by. You can kind of push it either way. We really worked hard to get a lot done. We got about 10 acres done down there. But, you know, nothing grew. No rain. We didn't have any moisture. It'll be a tough year because we didn't have any snow cover either, and a lot of that seed, you know, typically won't make it through the winter. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll have to go back and do a lot of seeding. But that was the time when the Skunk River Bridge was getting done and we were harvesting, so it was a pretty busy fall. You can't really see it in there, but we did a fair amount of erosion fabric. You know what that stuff is, erosion mat on some of these areas, and down in the southeastern part of Story County also, rolling that stuff out. It's good for your back. You guys ought to try it. The mower, well, a lot of mowing. R38, the new plantings need to be mowed for a season or two to keep the weeds down, make the natives happy, native that, as in the public and the plants coming up. Mowing ensures success, but I'll tell you the boom mower, the one on the right, just not the mower itself, but the tractor, we had a problem. For some reason, we'd hit a bump, and it would jar that piece of equipment so hard that it would bend the front rims. It bent the tire twice, the same tire. New rim, it popped the tire and bend the rim. Happened twice. We've had this thing since 97. It's never happened before, but it costs about $3,000 to get that done. You know, rims aren't cheap, so I just want to throw that at you. Hopefully that won't happen again. But, you know, we really didn't ever diagnose why it happened. Just the rim would bend and the tire would pop. American Kestrel, as our mascot, she had a dog on the table. We got this little bird here. A few boxes on the telephone poles. Tyler had to throw this in. He found a coyote. I told him what I thought we should do with it, but he took it to the Animal Rescue League. Kind of cute. Private lands. We keep going here, delivering seed and running the drill out. The cool season, again, would be waterways, especially after the water we've had moving through Story County lately, a lot of waterways being fixed. And CRP is in rare form. We don't have a lot of wild land in Story County these days. A lot of brush piles and fences being dug up, but the more wild land we have, I think the better we're off, at least for pheasants. And you can see what that does. We try to get those waterways established to reduce this. That's a lot of soil. That is in Collins Township, south of Hendrickson Marsh. And that's not a really big rain either. That's just poor land stewardship.
Now, the dark brown in between the green there, is that mostly silt and roadside silt
that's
built up? Wow.
That's kind of why we started renting the drills out and making it easy, you know, as easy as possible for the landowners to, as painless as it can be, to maybe establish a waterway and get some things done.
Sure.
Weeds, and that, you know, obviously that's going to be a weedy site. Soil sterilant, I don't think I've mentioned this a lot to you guys, but we do spray about 20 miles of shoulders. Some counties spray all their hard surface roads, the shoulders, just to keep the weeds down. We should probably do a little more. Some counties contract that out. We do it as needed. Again, spring brush, we've talked about that. We're back up to the northern tier of the counties on a cycle. They've had an open winter this year, the road department, so brush is really not an issue anymore in Story County. We've cleared out most of the problems that might happen through winter storm events, ice in March, high wind. We don't get a lot of trees on the road, and some of the brush out there is kind of nice to have for wildlife, actually. I'm spraying the Pioneer Cemetery there, actually. You can't even tell. A few weed complaints. Most of these are, a lot of these are city limit people in the cities, municipalities, mad over their neighbor. Japanese knotweed, worked with the city of Ames. This is a bad one coming in. Guess from what country, Rick? Okay. Asia, yes. So, Japanese knotweed, that's Car Park. If you could walk across the bridge where my kids would get tickets from jumping into the Skunk River, you'll see this. It's all up and down the river. We are certified to apply herbicide next adjacent to a water system. We work with the city of Ames. They need to get certified now. Showed them how to do it. Hopefully we don't get this to travel down the river. It'll take over. Sprayer upgrade is done. Jolene got the bill. We just need to make sure there's money to pay for it through the Living Roadway Trust Fund. That's money in and money out. But now we have a injection sprayer, which is promotes wise use of herbicide. You don't tank mix it anymore. It injects it into the water, calibrates it as you go. Clearing some rush. The harvest, again, we've talked about that enough. Those are the old combines that keep running. I'm part of a burn cadre that teaches prescribed fire techniques. We did meet down at Camp Dodge. These are people from across the state, nonprofits, state, and some county folks. Even a couple fish and wildlife people here. We actually did a prescribed fire at Camp Dodge. It's a pretty neat place down there. Pretty big number. We got a lot of open ditch. I think we know this. We hired an extra person, another summer person, last year to help us with some ditch maintenance. We tried to dabble with that, found out that during the spring, might be wet, you can't get there, and when the crops are up, you can't get there. So we learned a lesson a little bit on timing. But we did hit it pretty hard through the fall. And I threw this in there after talking to Darren. You know, some of the open ditch stuff that we're doing, you know, it's not quite apples to apples, but if you were to go in there and grub out trees, just tree removal, for about 20,000 feet, it was $100,000. And we got, well, if you multiply our 12 and add a little more, we're at about $4,500 for, you know, to do a little preventative maintenance. So I think we're on the right track. Now, we wouldn't really have known how to go after this or ask for the position unless we tried this out a little bit. So I'm glad we did that this fall. And we did some burning, too. We did work with the Story City Fire Department. They worked with us. We worked with them. Did a little burning together. That'll be their job now, to burn the city park in Story City. And through this little project, I was able to negotiate two suits at about $300 a piece of Nomex Wildland Fire Protective Clothing, just for helping these, just by helping this project, or burning it for them, being the burn boss. The Living Roadway Trust Fund went ahead and said, go ahead and have a couple suits of Nomex. So it's a pretty good deal. But we don't want to do this a lot. We want to teach folks and then hand it off. Facilities. It's a nice shop out there. Come and visit me. It gets lonely. We're putting a flatbed on the truck. That's budgeted. Make it a little easier to get things in and out of. I'm going to put some toolboxes on the side of that. We're going to have it done right in Ames at Shuling Hitch. Little maintenance. We all know about the hydro seeder. It's getting old, but it's reliable. And the boom mower saga continues. You can see down at the lower right, the shaft broke, so there are no blades on this thing. We're going to have to get it into the county yard and have those guys fix it. So, wish list, pole barn roof someday, and the door, it's open to the west. Al Hahn took a look at it. It's beyond what they can do. We'll have to frame it in probably and do something with it. So, anyway, when it comes to seeding and weather, it's all about weather. And, you know, we have the weather person or the emergency management person come in and talk about weather at one of our safety meetings. And the next day I went out, lo and behold, there's a wall cloud. Kind of a neat deal. That was this spring. Remember that storm that came through? That's R38. So I just took a picture. I know you have questions.
Well, I want to raise an issue that could be future consideration, since I have you here and planning and development director Leanne here, but it was also involved conservation. As we talk about our local foods initiative that we started a little over a couple of years ago and now kind of coming close to seeing the plans, there have always been some discussion about whether the county could utilize some of its land for growing of local food products, whether it would be shared by such as Community Life or some of the other areas as far as or departments that might use some of the food. But my question still comes in as I look at the facility out there where you have the pole barn and so forth and some of the other land that is under control of Story County. It would be nice if there was the possibility that we could dedicate a parcel of land that we could be either have a private individual come in and actually have grow some local foods, or it would be county operated. I don't know. But I'm just throwing that out as part of our visioning for the future to see if that's something that we want to engage in. I think it would send a good message as far as our commitment to promoting local foods within Story County if we were playing a more effective role. So I just throw that out both for you and Leanne to ponder as we move forward with discussions about local foods and whether there could be some feasibility. Okay?
Yeah, there are
not necessarily now, but just something to give thought to.
All right. Good. Well, I grow some pretty mean tomatoes, but...
Oh, you do?
Okay. I think right in the middle of Sheriff's Gun Range would be a good spot. But.
Okay, thanks. All right, next up is... Leanne Harder, Planning and Zoning, Planning and Development. I'll get that eventually.
Well, I don't have a mascot. I don't have a PowerPoint presentation, so I was looking for a funny joke to come in with you, and I don't have a good clean joke, so I'll just get right on.
Okay.
I'm going to say good morning, but it's almost good afternoon, so I'll try to be brief. I do have a lot. Thanks to Shelley, I will be up here once a month rather than every other week, so mine may be a little bit lengthier if need be.
Good.
I'll start by saying I did videotape for you all the ethics presentation last week. I am trying to get it saved on DVD to give it to you so you can share with others. I'm trying being the operative word. I may have to go elsewhere to have... I was okay videotaping it. That's the next step. But
okay.
We did at least get videotaped, and it's on the camera if anyone wants to watch. I think we could just plug it in here, too, from the camera. Leadership Aims, I was invited to go over... Was that last week? Maybe the week prior, to present on planning and development, as well as some of just basic Story County. I think I led for you guys, so I hope I didn't step on anyone's toes. But I was very pleased with the nature of the questions that were given to me as a department, and I hope that we actually can use that as a jumping board to do that in the future. That got me thinking internally. I know I've mentioned to you guys a few times, maybe we should look at a Leadership Story County session. This has come up through the Government Restructuring Committee. Believe it or not, there are a lot of county employees that don't necessarily understand what each department does. So I'd like to maybe at some point think about doing internalizing a Leadership Story County, especially as we have people changing over through EAC and other committees. We need to build the leadership within our own organization. So in my free time, awesome framework to bring up to you, but I know a couple of other people mentioned I wish I knew what happened in that department. I wish I knew what happened in that department, just from the public service end.
Well, we do have a written outline of what they do, but to have them actually present it and then be able to ask questions in a structured format, I think, would really be ideal.
I mean, I know every time I've learned so much in the past few months working with the Government Restructuring Committee of what other departments do. Great segue into the GRC. A couple of things before you is a legal-sized sheet of paper that has lots of circles on it. This is a public input questionnaire that the Government Restructuring Committee is putting out. It's actually on our website right now. It was developed through SurveyMonkey. This legal size is going to be sent to city halls and city libraries so that people can respond. They are giving until March 10th for responses, both on the website and through the city libraries and city halls. It's not a survey. There's no statistical validity to the responses. Just get an idea of what the public's opinion is on different services offered by Story County. I actually see this as something that we all could use beyond just the GRC role, too. So when we get that finalized responses compiled and delivered on to the GRC, I'll make sure the board gets a copy as well. But it's a simple questionnaire, nothing too intense, and I think there are 7 questions, one of which does talk about possible restructuring the Board of Supervisors, going from one to or three to five. That's on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this was just put online yesterday, so I don't think we have any responses even posted out there. But you can get to online by clicking on the little pink button on the homepage to Government Restructuring Committee, and you'll see a link there to go to a survey here. We'll also send it to the papers and do a press release to get it so people know it's out there available. They are meeting, they being the Government Restructuring Committee, this Friday here in this building. Series of three separate meetings, back-to-back. First of all, meeting with county staff. Any and all county staff that do want to come meet with them. They've met with department heads and elected officials, but they'd like to talk to the staff as well and get a sense of what some suggestions are from behalf of staff. Then they come to a lunch meeting with you all in your board conference room. And then following that, they come in here for a meeting with former Board of Supervisors. And right now we do have commitments from two former board members. One will be via phone, so IT is working with me to make sure we can get this set up in here. The next meeting then that has been scheduled for sure is March 5th at 7 o'clock. That will be in the City Hall Chambers, or City Council Chambers, excuse me, of City of Ames, televised live, ability to call in too. I think after this Friday too, they'll likely have a set of dates set that they'll be meeting weekly to start the compilation of the report. Hearing a lot of common themes throughout the various meetings, and all the meeting minutes from the very first meeting will go online later today in draft format, and actually this Friday the board will, or the committee will take action to approve them all. So we're hoping to be able to have that as a jumping board to really work on the report. CPAT roundtable is scheduled for next Monday from 8:30 to 11. Unfortunately, right now we only have a handful of respondees, but the invitation went out a week or so ago. We'll follow up this week, and I do know there are more coming than just what we've heard from whom we've heard. Flood Task Force through the City of Ames, I will be coming to you not next week, definitely, but in the month of February, setting up a game plan for how we get the public input session of the Flood Task Force. This is that joint process project with Ames and Iowa State, get public input on what mitigation strategies should or should not be implemented through that effort. We'd like to work with the board to send out some invitations to different members of the public to get them engaged as a steering committee. So be prepared that that will be coming here very shortly. Also, the Skunk River, there's been a request for information that's been put out by the Iowa Flood Center to look at a watershed study on a HUC 8, it's a technical term, but you've heard it before, basis. That is the Skunk River, South Skunk River watershed size. I'm actually scheduling a meeting with the Iowa Flood Center for two purposes. One, to discuss the viability of Story County being a successful applicant on behalf of the South Skunk River watershed. And IFSMA, Iowa Floodplain Stormwater Management Association. I'll be traveling to Iowa City, I think, next week to have those discussions. If the folks at Iowa Flood Center say South Skunk is the type of watershed for which we're looking, I'll be coming to you for some direction as to can Story County apply as a lead applicant to do this, but knowing our time won't necessarily be engaged that much in it. But I don't want to go forward with that effort and exercise if Iowa Flood Center says no. It's not something that we want to look at. I know the Prairie Rivers RC&D is looking at that RFI as well, and I think it's very valuable that Story County government actually take a leadership role in that too, if that is indeed the watershed that they are targeting. Code enforcement plan, I did hand out a copy of the code enforcement plan for you all. We'll spend time on it, but this was originally adopted in 1997. A couple of years before that, I think, this does predate me here, they started talking to other communities, see what types of services could be jointly offered. What I'd like to do, maybe once we get to the CPAT and get some direction from the board of that, go back and look at this, especially knowing we don't have a code enforcement position, but yet knowing we do have regulations on the books that we do need to have an enforcement program in place. I don't think we're doing any harm by looking at a program that was established in 1997. It is probably overdue that we look at that. So I'm thinking probably March is when we'll bring it forward to you for some sort of a work session environment. I just wanted to get it to you so you had a chance to look it over. If you have questions or you want some additional information, I'll get it up to you. We do have Planning and Zoning Commission on March 5th. They are looking at revisions to land development regulations, specifically the cleanup ordinance, but then the 35-acre minimum requirement and a new exception to that. Initially, when we presented at the joint meeting between you and the commission last November, I thought we'd be here in February. What I've chosen to do is delay that till April because I want the commission to focus one meeting on just standard cleanup, which is what they did last night, and then another meeting on the 35-acre discussion. And then the March meeting is when they'll actually hopefully be ready for a recommendation or some sort of action onto you. And then according to ordinance number one, it'll be another month before I can bring that forward. But with the 35-acre minimum, I'm reaching out to local surveyors, engineers, with what we have conceptualized right now, see, you know, does this cost a lot to implement? What's your feedback? Which is, I think, going to be very valuable to the process. I've also talked to Sue Vandekamp. And then as soon as I get a little bit more massage, I'm going to send out to interagency review. And so having this additional month and breaking them up into two segments, I think will make the product something that we can all maybe agree to better in the end. So on the Planning and Zoning Commission last night, they did agree to move the meeting from 5:30 normally to 5 o'clock. Because I'll be going from that right over to Ames to the Government Restructuring Committee starting at 7. So I'm very appreciative that they agreed to that. I am going to be putting a request to purchase Adobe Acrobat Pro. It's what we do all the be able to take the annual report and cut it up and put it onto the website. Right now, Kristen in our office is the only one that has that computer. And with having her position split, I think someone else in our office needs to have the expertise and ability to do it, knowing that there are some duties that she has that we will have to assume. Number of permits, just quickly, January 2012, we've issued 8 permits last, and that's reflective of the climate we experienced in January. That's high. 2 new single-family dwellings in January, too, by the way. In comparison, there were 3 total permits in 2011. 1 ag exemption was issued, that's the same in last year. 5 floodplain permits, though, and 0 last year. So that's not necessarily a trend I'm looking forward to seeing, since we still need to get some additional staff trained on floodplain management in our department. If that continues, our floodplain permits will be at least double that it was last year. And 1 property research. Revenues as of January 31st, you all know we are over budget for revenues because of the veteran 2 wind turbines, but just so you know, we are at 125% of our revenues, which is setting us up for ending this fiscal year in a good position. The really good news is IFSMA, Iowa Floodplain Stormwater Management Association. It is official. We did get the $100,000 from the Iowa DNR. The contract, I just got an email. Signed contract was approved by Iowa DNR. So our board approved it. What that means for Story County is a greater opportunity for floodplain management training. Other than just me doing it and training county staff, opportunities to get people here to do it, to have public outreach as well through this nonprofit organization, which I will continue to be involved in with your blessing. And then, of course, we are getting ready for our new roomies. We are trying to figure out how best to set up our, you know, we've cleared out the conference room. Quite honestly, come down and give us their feedback on that table. I don't like where the table is nor the size of it. We do have to have some place for us to either meet or have public sit down to fill out applications rather than going down to the lunchroom and then coming back with a question. And going back, I mean, that's just not a good customer service. So I think I'll probably be working with Alice to buy a new table. I think we can absorb it in our budget. But there will be some other finances, so we'll keep the board up to date on that. But looking forward to it. It's going to be a positive change, and we'll just go as we go. And do you have questions? Oh, one other thing. I had one other piece of paper. It was a letter from the Iowa DNR to me. I just want to keep you up to date. The city of Ames and Story County was invited to a meeting sometime last year, forgive me, 2011 is a blur, to talk about a possible physical map revision to the areas in southwest Ames, including unincorporated Story County. There was financing from FEMA to do this. What it means for Story County is the floodplain along Worley Creek, where you overlay the floodplain with aerial maps, and the floodplain is not even on top of where the bridge and the river is, the creek is, which is, I won't get my soapbox. That will be fixed. That has been very problematic. We'll have a very good product. I'm assured of that from the Iowa DNR as a result of this. And it's good that we can set this and maybe look for some other areas to work in the future. So that is a letter confirming that we are involved in that. I did forward up to you. Now, do you have questions?
Well, just probably to echo the same sentiment that Rick gave to Margaret earlier, how much we appreciate the collaboration and a willingness to work together with Environmental Health in this transition phase. We're very, very appreciative of you two trying to make this work. So thank you and your staff for willingness to do that.
And just to go beyond that, we put a lot of extra things on your plate in 2011, now spilling over into 2012. Thank you for willingly and so professionally taking those and for all the work you're doing in the government restructuring and the CPAT. I mean, you just think of the things that we've had Leanne do that was over and above what she's done in the past. So thank you.
You bet.
And I do, it wasn't just me that, our accomplishments are not because of me. I need to give kudos to the entire staff. We're successful because of the talent we have downstairs. But thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Leanne.
Okay, great. All right, moving on to the agenda then with the liaison assignments and committee updates. Anything, Paul?
The interesting meeting with the Government Structuring Committee in Zering last Thursday. They had they won the attendance prize. I think they had seven members of the public there.
Great.
So it was a good meeting.
Good. Rick, anything?
Nope.
Just very briefly, last Friday morning I met with both Deb and Shilroff and Gayla. As you all were aware, I was part of the ISAC leadership team with the supervisors where we met to talk about the governor's and the state of Iowa's DHS's desire to change how mental health services will be delivered, and we were talking about coming up with some proposals or statements that will be shared to the legislature and the governor and DHS regarding how counties view the proposed changes in the mental health arena. And tomorrow night, the supervisor exec board that I'm a member of will meet to go over those recommendations and hopefully to approve them. And then on Thursday at our ISAC meeting, there will be further discussion. But both Gayla and Deb were very instrumental in giving me perspective for Story County, and I was able to share that information with the committee, and it was well received. And so there's still going to be a lot of things going on, and we're going to continue to work with our two local department heads in this area so that we can convey to the decision makers how the proposed restructuring of the mental health, particularly through this regionalization concept, will impact the delivery service in Story County. So that was a very fruitful meeting, and I'll keep you posted on other things next week based on what we find out later this week at our ISAC meetings. Okay? Okay, moving down to item 9, nothing, and personnel. On personnel, please add, we have one transfer from another Story County department. Rick Carter is transferring from conservation to facilities. And so this was not able to get in the list due to absence of the office support person in that office. So just add that to the list.
Move personnel actions.
Second.
Been moved and seconded the approval of personnel action. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Personnel is approved. Okay, on the consent agenda, we have all items good to go.
Move consent agenda.
Second.
Been moved and seconded the approval of the consent agenda. Sanders?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Clinton? Aye. Consent agenda is adopted. Now, next item is public forum number two. This is where we can have comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action at this time, but may do so in the future. Is there anyone that would like to address the board regarding an item of concern? Okay. Seeing no one, then we'll move on to announcements from the supervisors.
Pass.
Just alluded to it briefly, ISAC supervisors meeting this week, tomorrow night and Thursday. I'll be in Des Moines all day for that. And there's some interesting topics, believe it or not. Mental health redesign is one of the big focuses, and there will be a big discussion regarding juvenile detention funding. And that could be quite an interesting panel, and hopefully it will be very informative, but I think it will point out some of the challenges that juvenile detention facilities are faced with in years to come. So hopefully we'll all be able to take something away from that activity.
Can't wait.
Good. And last but not least?
Move adjournment.
Second.
Been moved and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Great.